Revelation chapter 6. Amen. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 6, verse number 12, if you'd read with me there. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. And everybody say every. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, that sounds rough, doesn't it? And this is just the beginning. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. We have been studying about the seals. You remember in the fourth or the fifth chapter of Revelation, there was a scroll that was handed to Jesus, and he begins to open the scroll. Each section of the scroll, there are seven sections that are sealed, and each time he breaks a seal, something happens on the earth. The first seal was the Antichrist, as he will become known. He won't be called that in the beginning. He'll just be a world leader. He'll be loved and honored and respected, and people will look up to him, and people of the world will think that he is our salvation. He is the one that has come. There have been many, haven't there? There have been people in certain nations have made gods of many men, but they always turn out the same, and this one will be no different. There will be no lasting peace on the earth until the Prince of Peace comes. And when he comes and establishes his throne, then there will be peace. And we'll talk about that in a future lesson. We call that the millennial reign of Christ. There will be peace for 1,000 years. And then a season of trouble, and then eternity. But this Bible calls him the man of sin. The Bible calls him the beast because of his character. The Bible calls him the Antichrist. But people will call him all kinds of wonderful things. They'll call him their Messiah. They'll call him the Savior. We've seen that already. It's interesting. Some of the magazines and the terms that they apply to world leaders right now. And so there are numerous men at this point in time that could fill this bill. But that's what is going to happen. He's going to set up his reign, and it's going to look good, and it's going to be all around the world. He's going to make peace. He's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel. And in the Middle East, there's going to be peace. Between the Palestinians and the Israelis, there's going to be peace. Between the Arabs and all of these people, there's going to be peace. And it's going to look rosy for a little while. And then the second seal's open, and there's war on the earth and great violence. The third seal was open, there was famine. The fourth seal was pestilence and disease. And then the fifth seal, if you remember last week, we talked about the souls or the martyrs that were slain for the cause of God. By whom? By this world leader that the world adores and worships. But Christians are going to become targets. Amen. We, in our own United States of America, recently signed a bill that we could be imprisoned if we are deemed an enemy of the state, or we could be, we don't have to go to trial. But if you do something they deem bad enough, they can put you in prison without you having a trial. That's in the United States of America. That's totally against our Constitution. But those are the facts. That's where we are. All these things are paving the way for some things that are getting ready to happen, folks. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there's many that are going to be martyred. They begin to call for justice. And then the Lord promises justice. And then he opens the sixth seal. And when that seal is broken, it affects the heavens. Amen. It affects the earth. It affects it like nothing has ever affected it before. Let's look at this for just a moment here. The Bible said there was a great. Everybody say great. Oh, we've had all kinds of earthquakes. But we ain't never had an earthquake like this earthquake. The Bible said there was a great seismo. With a great earthquake. It is a quake. It's a trembling. It's a shaking. This is such a powerful earthquake. We've had a lot of them. We have more and more. There have been more earthquakes. They are increasing in frequency and in strength. That just lets us know that we're a little closer to the end of time. Jesus said there are going to be many, but this one's going to be a great earthquake. It's not going to be like any we've ever seen before. Now, this is not the first time that God has sent judgment to the earth. In the time of Noah, there's a great flood. Now, you can believe what you want to, but when you go to the Grand Canyon, what you're seeing is some results from that great flood. When that water began to rush toward the poles and it began to spin its way to the frozen poles where it's stored now and returned to the heavens, it dug out great gullies. It left mountains. It left oceans. It left lakes. It started rivers. It did a lot of things. All of those things are testimony. Now, I know scientists today study that, and they'll tell you a different story. But I'm telling you what the Bible said, and then you can believe which one you want to. But I believe that it's a result of the flood of Noah's time. That literally reshaped the earth. It reconfigured the planet when that flood came. It was that catastrophic. And the only ones that were saved were the ones that were in the ark that God said to prepare. And it's interesting, the Bible says, and the day that Noah went into the ark, and God shut the door. That was when God's wrath begins, you see. God starts wrath. And then there was when God instantly judged Sodom and Gomorrah. That was another instance of God's wrath, God's judgment. I've heard people say when Katrina struck, and people said it was a judgment of God. No, that wasn't the judgment of God. That was just a natural happenstance that God did allow. But it wasn't the judgment of God. We'll know. You'll always know when God's judging. You won't have any doubt in your mind when God sends a judgment. That was just another hurricane. And the results of it. And poor planning on man's part. But that's what that was. It was not the judgment of God. Now, when God judges, there's only been two that have come in the large portions of the population. But one more's coming. Amen. One more is on its way. So a great earthquake, a great shaking. And then secondly, it said that the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. That means dark. Now remember, darkness has been on the face of the earth before, right? Remember one of the plagues in the Exodus when Israel was being delivered out of Egypt. God sent a darkness. The Bible said it was called a thick darkness. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of dark where literally you can see nothing. You can't see your hand in front of your face. You can see absolutely nothing. Now, there's a darkness that is coming. The sun is going to be blackened, the Bible says. It's going to be dark, extremely, extremely dark. And then it said, and the moon became as blood. I don't know what's going to cause that. I don't know if that's a pollution issue. There are a lot of things that have been expostulated, but I don't know exactly what's true and what's not. I guess that your opinion's as good as anybody else's. But there are explanations that's going to cause that. But the Bible said that the moon will become as blood. And then verse 13 said, and the stars fell to the earth. We recently, a month ago maybe? There was a very small asteroid that struck the earth in Russia, traveling at a speed of like 19,000 miles an hour. Just the sheer force behind that thing when it passed by shattered windows and caused buildings to crumble. And it didn't hit anything. That's just the turbulence caused by its passing at that kind of a speed. And, of course, it knocked a big hole in the ground and stirred some things up and was very exciting. But that was just a little old piece of rock falling to the earth. The earth recently, just a week or two ago, there was an asteroid that passed by the earth that was quite large. And it didn't hit the earth, thank God. But it did cause some weather patterns and some things to occur, things to happen. But what do you think it's going to be like when stars fall to the earth? There's going to be some rocking going on here. I lived in West Texas. We were a few miles away from a meteor that hit the earth many, many, many years ago and left quite a hole in the ground. And it's something people go to see, but it's just a hole in the ground. That's all that's there now. But nonetheless, it caused quite a stir in its time. But the Bible literally says that stars are going to fall to the earth. It said like it's a fig tree that's shaken by a strong wind, and figs just start falling. If you've ever seen that, I was in Spain a few years ago in Portugal, and I saw something interesting I'd never seen. They were harvesting olives. And the way they would do that is they would put like an upside down umbrella under the tree. And then they would get a tractor with an arm on it, and they'd reach up to the top of the tree, and they'd begin to shake that tree. And those ripe olives would fall down into that inverted umbrella. And it sure beat picking them by hand. I can assure you that. It was a quick... But the Bible said that the stars are going to fall like a fig tree that's been shaken by a mighty wind. And there are going to be a lot of things happening. There's never been incidents like this on the earth before. It said that the heavens are going to roll up like a scroll. Now, I don't understand exactly what that means, but all of the heavens are going to roll. They're going to be affected. Whenever you see a great thunderstorm, it's kind of scary a little bit, isn't it? At the same time, it's pretty exciting when you see literally and you can feel the rumble and you can feel the earth move by the boom of the thunder, and you see the lightnings that flash and light up the earth. And it's exciting when you see those things. But the Bible said that the heavens are going to roll up like a scroll. And then it said, and I emphasized this before, that every mountain and island shall be moved. Now, that's going to be quite an earthquake. Yes, we've never had one like that. I've been in earthquakes. I've been in several of them. And they're scary, and they do a lot of damage. But I've never been in one that literally caused mountains to fall. I've never been in one that literally caused an island to disappear and be moved. But that's coming to the earth. Now, you say, well, all this is figurative. I don't believe so, but you can believe that if you like. I believe that God, this is, and there's a reason for that. Now, we'll get to that in just a moment. There's a reason that this is going to happen like we've never seen it before. And then it said that and I thought that was a very, very interesting. Verse number 16. All of these men that have caused so much trouble, these first five seals, by the way, or the wrath of man against men. It's really the wrath of the Antichrist against the people of Jesus Christ. It's the world against the people of God. And they have taken their toll, and they've persecuted, and they've shed blood, and they've imprisoned, and they have tormented. And so all that's going on. But the Bible said that, verse 15, and the kings, everybody say kings, of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, that means everybody, hid themselves. This is very interesting, in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. Now, if you have an earthquake strong enough to shake mountains down and to move islands, what do you think is going to happen to buildings? They're not going to be buildings. They're going to be knocked down. They're going to be rubble in the streets. And that's why people are in dens. That's why people are in the mountains. Because they have nowhere else to be. It has literally, this is fast. It just comes suddenly. And all of these incidents are so rapidly taking place. And the Bible said, in the, they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Isn't that interesting? There's not a word of repentance. There's not a word of repentance. There's not a prayer of repentance. This tells you that man's heart has become so apostate. It has become so hardened, like the heart of Pharaoh against God, that there's no desire for repentance. There's no desire for righteousness, even though they recognize the Lord, even though they know who He is, even though they call Him by name, they have no desire for a relationship with Him. That's why God allows this kind of judgment to come on the earth. The Bible said that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But there is an extension of mercy that someday runs out. And this is that time. Now, notice this phrase. They said, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. From the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So, this is not an incident that is unknown to Bible scholars. They wrote about it in the Old Testament. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 13, verse 9 through 10, Isaiah wrote this, behold, the day of the Lord. Notice that phrase, the day of the Lord. That's what this is called. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord cometh, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened and is going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. That sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? And Ezekiel said it like this, Ezekiel 32, verse 7 and verse 8. He said, and when I put thee out, I will cover the heaven. I will make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. And all the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. That's the day of the Lord. Joel wrote about it like this, Joel chapter 2, verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now, understand, it hasn't happened yet, see. You think all those cosmic disturbances are horrible. That's not the day of the Lord yet. That's just the foreshadowing. That's just getting everybody's attention. It hadn't even began. The wrath has not yet been poured out, but it just happens right before that. And then verse 32 said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. There's hope, folks. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Amen. I believe that it is at this time that God's going to rapture His church. We're getting out of here. Amen. Praise the Lord, we're going up. You see, God has never allowed, and the Scripture teaches that God will not allow His wrath to be upon His people. That's what happened with Noah, wasn't it? Until God got Noah in and God shut the door, there was no wrath. But once he was in the ark, then the wrath of God fell. The Bible talks about Lot, and that the Lord sent two angels to get him out of the city. And that the angel said that judgment or wrath cannot fall until we get you out of here. God has never allowed His wrath, not the wrath of man, but the wrath of God. The church has always known the wrath of men. Jesus Christ was crucified by the wrath of men. The apostles died by the wrath of men. The church, even today, in certain areas of the country and the world, knows the wrath of men. It always has. So we're not talking about the wrath of men. We're talking about the wrath of God. God will not allow His wrath to fall upon His people. And so before this happens, His people are delivered out of the earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the rapture. Amen. Joel chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall roar out of Zion, utter His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. So God has promised that there's going to be great wrath and a great judgment that is coming on the earth, but there's going to be protection for His people. And then I want to turn now to the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 24. This is called the Olivet Discourse. It is an outline of history. It closely follows the 9th chapter, 7th chapter, 7th and 9th chapter of Daniel, and also the book of Revelation, especially these seal judgments. And so let's turn there and look for just a moment. I want to just briefly again mention the parallels. The first seven verses, actually the first verse, is the verse that sets the tone for all the rest of it. Jesus is standing with His disciples on the Mount of Olivet, or the Mount of Olives. And they are looking over the city, and they see, of course, the great temple that was such the great source of pride for all of the Jews. And Jesus talks about this temple being thrown down. And then His disciples ask this question. And verse number 3, they said, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" In other words, destruction of the temple. And then He said, "And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And then Jesus answers those questions. And then He gives us an outline of the events. Actually, the book of Revelation, or at least these seals that we're talking about here, and up to the day of the wrath of the Lord. It's paralleled in Mark 13 and in Luke 21. But I want primarily to focus here on the 24th chapter of Matthew. So Jesus talks about these things. We mentioned this a little earlier, that there would be deception, verse number 5. That's that white horse. And then that there would be war, and that would be that red horse. And then that there would be great famines, and that would be the pale horse. And then that there would be pestilence and disease, and that would be the fourth of the seals, or the fourth horse. And then verse 8 says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus mentions two time periods in this. It parallels again with what we call the 70th week of Daniel, the weeks of years. The 70th week of Daniel, It was cut off at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That was the 69th week. There's 1 week remaining of his prophetic time clock. What God did was he carved out a dispensation called the church. And Daniel didn't see that. God didn't reveal that to him. Apparently he didn't need to see it. He was prophesying to Israel. And so when Jesus was cut off, and then the church is born, there's this 2,000 year space of time. But then when Antichrist, or as he's known, and he won't be called that in the beginning, we won't know him as that. We will, because whoever signs that peace treaty and brokers that peace deal will know who he is. And we're going to know that's Antichrist. The world won't, but the church will. And when that sign that begins, again, that time clock, that last 7 years. That 7 years is broken into two spaces of time. It's called 3.5 years, cut into two dispensations. It's also called 42 months or 1,260 days. All of those are the same thing, 3.5 years. So for the first 3.5 years of that period, there is trouble on the earth. It's not peace. There will be some peace in the beginning. Because it looks that way. This man of sin, or this beast, or this antichrist, this peacemaker, as the world will call him, this world leader that's going to come on the scene, he's going to bring what appears to be peace. But remember, he had a bow in his hands. No arrows, but he had a bow. He made a peace on the earth without making war. But then Jesus says, and then after that's going to come war. There will come war. And then there's going to come, of course, the famine and the pestilence. All those things are going to happen. That takes place in the first period of the 3.5 years. That's our the first period of time. That's the wrath of men against the church. Because the devil doesn't like the church. He's going to do everything he can to wipe it out, but he never will. Hallelujah. Just like he hadn't been able to destroy Jerusalem or Israel. You know why? Because God put his name there. And as long as his name's there, it's going to stay. Praise the Lord. He's not going to be able to destroy the church. The more he fights against it, the more it's going to grow. It's a great mystery that persecution actually brings revival. You would think that trouble would cause people to run from the church. Instead, it caused them to run to the church. Praise the Lord. Would we be willing to pay a price for that? We want revival, yes. Would we be able to suffer for it? Would we be willing to do that? Praise God. When we are, and God's grace will be sufficient, hey, I'm not asking for trouble. I'm not asking for suffering. I'm not asking for persecution. I'm not asking for martyrdom. But those things have already been upon the church, and they will be in the end time. And so trouble's going to come, and with it is going to come magnificent revival. Praise God. But the church is going to prevail. It's going to shine on. And so Jesus talks about that. The first part of this tribulation is called, he calls it here, the beginning of sorrows. Beginning of sorrows. But then let's go down a little bit further. And there's another, verse 21, he said, for then shall be great tribulation. That's the second phrase he uses. Great tribulation. Such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. So there's a period of time that the Lord calls the great tribulation. Now, I wish I had charts. I haven't been able to get them together. I will, so we can show you. On a chart, it'll be a lot easier to see these things. But first 3.5 years is the wrath of the Antichrist against the church. And it continues on past that. But at that time, the Bible said that the Antichrist will break the covenant with Israel. He will set himself up in the temple and demand to be worshipped as God. And so when that happens, and we'll know that, we're here, we're going to know about that. We're going to understand what's going on. That's the halfway point. Before that's the sorrows. But I want you to notice this next verse. beginning of sorrows, now begins great tribulation. And it said it's not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. This is it, folks. This is a great time of trouble and tribulation and sorrow and suffering like the world's never seen. We read about that in that sixth seal, didn't we? The world's never seen anything like that before. We've seen some pretty bad stuff. Literally hundreds of thousands of people have been destroyed in earthquakes and in floods and in hurricanes and in tornadoes, but nothing like this. Never been anything like it in all of time. Never will be again. Look at this next verse. Verse 22. He said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, what does that mean? How is God going to shorten those days? We've already told you. Everywhere in the Bible it speaks of it, it's 7 years, 3.5 years twice, 42 months twice, 1,260 days twice, times, and half a time mentioned. So where's the shortening? The shortening is speaking of this great tribulation itself. Nobody could endure the wrath of God for 3.5 years. That would be impossible. Nobody could endure that. Not even the saints themselves. So what he's saying is that time of great tribulation is going to be shortened. In other words, the great tribulation is not going to start until close to the end of the period of time. And then it's going to all happen quickly. So time's going to pass. Whenever Antichrist signs or breaks the covenant, sets himself up as God, that's a signal to us that tribulation's beginning. But that's not the worst of it. Great tribulation begins, but not the wrath of God. How are we going to know that? The wrath of God is going to be announced when that sixth seal is open. And all of these things happen in the heavens. That's how we're going to know. Now, we're going to know because we're going to be raptured out of the earth. That's how we're going to know. But the earth's going to know the wrath of God when the sixth seal's open. And all of these events happen in the heavens and on the earth. That's how the world's going to know what's going to be happening here. Verse number 29 said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the earth shall be shaken. And so Jesus is talking here about the same things we mentioned in Revelation 6, right? You see the parallel? This is the very same events, what Isaiah talked about. It's what Ezekiel talked about. It's what Joel talked about. It's what Zechariah talks about. It's what Obadiah talks about. All of these events, and it's taken place. And so Jesus mentions it here. Verse 30 says, and then, everybody say, and then shall the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, for they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. So at the end of these tribulations, just before the great catastrophic things that happen in the heavens and earth, the Lord's going to return. We're going to see him. Everybody's going to see him. Hallelujah. Everybody's going to know. Because it's going to happen and he is going to appear. Praise the Lord. He says it again in Mark chapter 13. It's that same context. When he said, but of those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of the heaven shall fall, the powers in the earth shall be taken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Amen. Hey, church. We don't have to worry about these things. Amen. We're not going to go through the wrath of God. We're not going to see these catastrophic things happen because we're getting out of here. Luke chapter 21 verse 25 to verse 28. And then shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things began to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And we're getting ready to get out of here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to see some things. We're going to see the peace treaty made in Israel. I believe we'll see that happen. And we'll know this is the beginning. It's starting right here. You can put on your calendar, amen, 7 years it'll be over. But we're not going to be here 7 years. Praise God. When we get in the middle of that thing, we're going to see the Antichrist reveal himself as who he really is. The world's going to see him as the son of the man of sin. They're going to know him as the beast. We're going to talk about all that. It's coming up real soon. And the world's going to see him as he really is then. They're going to see his true character. They're going to see his real nature. Amen. And then, at that time, whenever the Lord says that's enough. Amen. It's enough. He's going to let that roll on just a little bit longer. And somewhere within a year or a year and a half, he's going to say that's enough. And the trumpet's going to blow. And he's going to appear in the clouds. Every eye shall see him. Praise God. And the Bible said they're going to run to the dens and to the rocks. And they're going to cry out. Because they know that once this church is gone, hallelujah, wrath is coming. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's amazing what people are saying about Christians today. And getting away with it. They just took another picture of Jesus down out of a high school because they just didn't want the hassle of a lawsuit. Amen. You know, even just last year, wasn't it, whenever a group said we couldn't put Jesus or our little manger on the lawn up here in the courthouse. What's that hurting anybody? Amen. If you don't like it, just don't look at it. Amen. It's not there that long anyway. My goodness gracious, but people are awfully testy. and they blame Christians for everything. It's all our fault. No matter what we say, they don't take our word. They know that we hate everybody. Well, don't we? We just hate everybody. No, we don't. We love everybody. Amen. Praise God. This whole thing's founded on the love. It's not found on hate. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We love everybody. And so it's not that, but what we're seeing is we're seeing seeds being planted so that this church will be persecuted like never before. And how strange, in a country that was actually founded on the Judeo-Christian ethic, that we're going to see a time when this whole thing, and we're seeing the foundation of it just destroyed right now. And it boggles my mind to see these things happening. And things, every time you think, well, they'll never pass that, and they do. They'll never go for that, and then they do. And just one thing after the other. Things that we have seen stand for the over 200 years of our history just falling like dominoes one after another. Amen. All I can say is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what the Bible said? That His grace is sufficient for you. No matter what happens, His grace is sufficient for you. It's not ever going to get greater than His grace. Amen. It's always going to be more than enough. And when trouble comes, I'm telling you something, peace that passes understanding is going to come with it. If you get put in prison, it's going to be the best days of your life, spiritually. Hallelujah. God's going to come near. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. You read about those old martyrs when they were marching them through the snow with almost no clothing. Amen. Poking them with spears. The Bible said they went out singing. They weren't whimpering. They weren't crying. There was a triumphant sound. Amen. I read about one of them the other day. They out of respect, they put the fire behind him. He said, "Don't you put that fire behind me." He said, "You put it there where I can see it." Amen. Praise God. If I'm going to die for Christ, I want to see it coming. Amen. And he died singing, worshiping, praising. I'm just saying today that when it comes, folks, don't despair. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Amen. Because those are the days to be strong and be valiant. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some of you have experienced the grace of God in a measure like that. Some the greatest and the strongest times of trouble and trial in my life are the times that I felt God the nearest and the closest. Amen. Anybody identify with what I'm saying?
Yes.
Have you experienced that? Yes. Times when sorrow should have overwhelmed me, but it didn't. Instead, there was this strange peace that you can't explain. There was this song that just couldn't be silenced. Amen. I just wonder. I remember Sister Davis testifying about how the Lord helped her to deal with the loss of her dear son. She said every day the Lord gave her a song. Every day God gave her a song. Amen. Whatever it takes, He'll supply. He knows exactly how to talk to you. And He knows exactly what you need. And I promise, He'll supply it when the need comes. Don't despair. Don't worry. Amen. He said, when you see these things come to pass, and He gave us signs, He said, look up, because your redemption is drawing nigh. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We didn't get to live here in the time of Christ the first time, but we're living the greatest days of revival the world's ever seen. And not only that, but we're living in the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it's an exciting time to be alive. Amen. Let's look to Him right now together, shall we? Lord, I pray that the peace that passes understanding would come to every heart and every mind here tonight. That we could all be comforted and strengthened. That we would know and be excited. I thank You so much for what You're doing right now in this church. When we come through these doors, there's just a vibrant, powerful presence of God that is greater than anything we felt. I thank You for that. And I believe that it's going to intensify. Amen. We're going to see things that we prayed for come to pass that are going to literally astound us. You're going to do things that are greater than what we could have imagined. Hallelujah. Revival's coming in a measure like the world's never known it. The church has never known it. And I'm excited to be a part of it. Thank You for matching us with this generation and with this day. Praise God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We want to be faithful. We want to be faithful. We want to be faithful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At the end of that comment made by the inhabitants of earth after the rapture, it said, who shall be able to stand? Well, it's the same answer for this generation and for all generations. Only those who know the grace of God. Only those who know the grace of God. That's it. Amen. That's how anybody's going to stand. At any time, is those that know the grace of God. But we know Him. in a precious and personal manner. I thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord bless you. Thank you for your time and your attention this evening. Amen. We'll see you again at least Sunday morning, if not before. Amen. Let's have church, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Bring somebody with you. Right. Yeah, fundraiser over next door for the music ministry, if you can help us. Yeah, it's got a... Amen. So we've got... Right. If you can, it's a pizza and a drink and dessert right next door. Good time for fellowship. Amen. God bless you. Thank you in Jesus' name.